Well, good morning. As you know, we are in the process of looking for full-time teen ministry leaders. And so what we've been doing and what we had last weekend and what will occur this weekend and next is we're having the candidates come and actually do the communion so that the congregation can get a chance just to see their hearts for the Lord, to lead us in the Lord's Supper, and just a chance to get to know them. So today I have the distinct privilege of introducing two of my great friends from my days in the Kansas City Church. Chad and Mandy Johnson are from the Kansas City Church of Christ, and we've been friends for about a decade now. Chad's been a disciple since 2002, and Mandy since 2007 when they got married in 2007. They've got three wonderful children, Christopher, Evelyn, and Emily, and they're just really, really great servants of the Lord. So please welcome Chad and Mandy as they lead us in our thoughts for communion.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. We bring you greetings from the Kansas City Church of Christ. Thank you. All right, Kansas City. Woo! I'm Chad Johnson. This is my admirable and lovely wife, Mandy Johnson. And we're thankful you're letting us share communion with you today, as well as hang out with your teens. I'm going to share a scripture and a message, and my wife will share a brief testimony. For now, let's please flip, press, or swipe with me over to Luke 15, starting with the first two verses. Now, I'd love to go over this whole chapter with you, but from what I understand, Fenton has already accepted your evangelist position, so 8 to 10 minutes it is. Love you, bro. Okay, so the first two verses, there's really a lot here revealed about the heart. And as this time of communion, you know, we really reflect on our hearts. You know, we think about what Jesus did with his disciples, you know, spreading the, you know, breaking the bread and the blood. But really, there's a lot of heart reflection during this time of communion. So first off, someone please tell me, who here is not a sinner? Oh, okay, she changed her mind. All right, fair enough. It may sound like a trick question to a disciple, a Christian, because we have a new nature, and our identity is now found in Christ rather than in our sin. So a better question might be, who here has not sinned within the last week? Anyone? All right, I said raise your hand if that's you, because I'd love to come shake Jesus' hand if he's been hiding out in your church. But another thing the scripture talks about, it says that the tax collectors and the sinners were gathered around to hear Jesus. So what were the Pharisees and the teachers of the law doing around Jesus? Many people were there hearing Jesus, hearing the word, but there were many different intents in their hearts at the time. So that's something to think about. Why are you here today? Why am I here today? Is this just routine you get through every Sunday or some Sundays? Is there a potluck I don't know about? Because I didn't get invited. No, I'm just kidding. Is it to complain about who Jesus is welcoming into the fold? Did you see a handsome stud come in and you figured out you'd see what this is all about? But sorry, ladies, Fenton's spoken for, so. Or is it to learn about Jesus, to grow closer to him and the body? It can be hard to abstractly put ourselves in the shoes of the Pharisees in some of the situations we see in the Bible. But examining my own heart, I found there are other ways, other pharisaical tendencies and thoughts that can present themselves in our lives. Feel free to say amen if you can relate, but a couple of thoughts might be like, they must have done something really bad to end up in that situation. Or they started it, so they need to repent first. Just saying. Somewhere I heard the solution to that, which is, how about the more spiritually mature of you repent first? Isn't that good? I want to do just a bit more heart reflecting by looking at a few more verses in Luke 15, verses 28 through 30, and then back to 17 through 20a. Now, most of us are familiar with the parable of the lost or the prodigal son, so we're just going to focus on where the older brother's heart was and then the younger brother. So please turn with me. We'll start with verses 28 through 30 in Luke 15. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." Let's look at the other young man's heart, the younger brother. Verses 17 through 20a. "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father." With the older brother, we're hearing his heart: angry, refusal, life's unfair, pride. "But I did this, so I should get that," type of entitlement. With the younger brother, we're hearing came to his senses, recognition of unworthiness, recognition of sin, confession of sin, humility, and later we see acceptance of his father's gifts and lavish love. Most broadly, the word communion indicates a time for sharing and exchanging intimate thoughts and ideas, especially when on a mental or a spiritual level. As Christians, we know communion as the time when we take the Lord's Supper in the way Jesus taught his apostles, but it also makes sense to reflect on our own hearts individually during this time. Mandy will share some of her reflections from her own life and what things God has done in it.
Good morning, church family. We are so grateful and humbled to be here with you today and share a little bit about our lives, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Because we love you so much, we were delighted to share not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And reflecting on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I'm reminded of my baptism and all that I've been saved from through the blood of Jesus. One of my greatest struggles has been the longing to be loved and accepted. Growing up, I felt compelled to do whatever the crowd around me was doing, trying to find my place, doing things I knew weren't right. At the same time, I felt the need to prove myself, always doing well in school, being in a relationship, having a good job. No matter how much I followed the crowd or how much I achieved, though, I still felt empty. I wanted to know God, but just felt so unworthy with the life that I'd been living. I tried to change some of those habits and patterns in my life that I knew were wrong, but I was powerless to do so. One night, as I prayed, not even sure I knew how to pray, I just surrendered. I told God my hopes and my dreams, but I laid them down, telling God that I wanted his plan for my life, even if it didn't fulfill my hopes and dreams. Soon after that prayer of surrender, I was introduced to the Kansas City Church and started studying the Bible. I soon came to find out that God didn't see me the way that I saw myself, which is really cool that we sang that song this morning. That really resonates with me. God just wanted my heart. He had given me Jesus to wipe away all that sin, to fulfill what was said in Psalm 51:7, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." I had the opportunity to die to that sin, bury it, and be resurrected anew in Christ. Since then, God has blessed me with those hopes and dreams I had surrendered beyond what I could have imagined. Of course, my struggles didn't end there. Chad and I had some big challenges in our marriage, but in time, God brought amazing healing. Though Chad is just as imperfect as I am.
It's true.
I am so grateful to have this man who loves God leading our family. Another struggle I had was forming the deep connections I thought I needed in the church. I was part of the body, but I often felt alone. Through that, though, God taught me what it meant to truly rely on him, and he's blessed me with great friendships in the church now. My fears and insecurities still threaten to get the best of me, but God keeps coming through, giving me the courage and strength to take the next step of faith, which brought us here today.
Amen. Thanks, love, for sharing that with us. Just as a quick announcement, May and I will both stick around after church if you'd like to get to know us a little more. I know we'd love to get to know you more. As we take communion today, as we remember Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, and that we too spiritually participate in that, let's reflect on where our hearts are right now, as well as how God's growing us as we let him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's fantastic being here today in your body.